taxes. Now, there's one way you confront the civic entity of government. Here's another one, a run-in with the cops. And here's day-to-day contributing writer Marcos McPeak via Toro.
My first arrest was memorable, not least because it was my only arrest. In 1985, the anti-apartheid movement was at its height, and students at the University of Iowa decided to storm the administration buildings and not leave until the university agreed to stop investing in companies involved with South Africa. A wind of change was blowing from Cape Town to Kimberley, and I got caught in the tail breezes blowing from Dubuque to Des Moines. Now, I could say it was political passion or a noble heart, but I gotta fess up. The man who brought me into this battle was not Mandela or Sisulu. It was Kelly, Dr. Bob Kelly of the English Department, who had just handed back my long analytical paper on T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, giving it a C. He wrote me a long, kind, yet worried note about my efforts as a fledgling graduate student. "Marcos," he said, "you're gonna have to do better analysis than this. This isn't a creative writing class." Ay, ay, ay. On that beautiful spring day, I trudged across campus, the evaluation clutched to my side, wrapped in a private cloud of despair. Kelly saw the truth, and I did too. Sure, I could make up some doozy of a story, and when I told it in class, folks liked it, but critical analysis? Deconstruction of Ezra Pound's editing of Eliot's poem? No way. Lost in gloom, I literally bumped into the protesters, gathered in a big circle around the main administration building. About 100 of them. I asked one young guy, "What are you all doing?" "We're protesting apartheid, man," he said, filling me in on the plan of protest they'd been working on for over a week. "Okay," I said, and I jumped right in there with them. I managed to demand justice in Johannesburg for about 5 minutes before I got arrested. An overweight cop, probably close to retirement, had dragged out 20 people before he got to me. He looked close to a seizure. "Officer," I said, "I can walk out if you like." He wheezed a breathy smile and said, "Nah, kid, it's okay. We'll give you your day in the sun." And he and another policeman carried me off by my legs and armpits right past the television news camera. Beyond the camera, they stood me up. The older cop brushed off my shoulders, then said, "Okay, son, get on that bus over there." The charges were dropped. They didn't like apartheid any more than I did. And next day, I was back in class, and Bob Kelly smiled and asked me to tell my story. So I did. And maybe I embellished it a bit, yeah, but I had their attention. I remember pausing and looking over at Dr. Kelly and wondering if I should stop talking, give the class back over to the analysis of post-World War I poets. But no, he said, "Then what happened?" giving me permission to keep telling a tale. Finally, he said, "Marcos, it looks like you've found your calling." Did Dr. Kelly mean I should become a full-time campaigner for noble causes? Was he telling me I was finally hacking it as a grad student? That my analysis of the demonstration and of the wrongs of apartheid gave him new confidence in my ability to analyze poetry? I'd like to think so, but even then I knew it was his way of saying that although I'd never win an award for literary criticism, would never be feted in European journals for the brilliance of my insights, I kinda had a way with a story. Not a bad gift, not a bad thing for a young man to hear. Thanks, Dr. Kelly. Amandla. Power to the people.
Marcos McPeak via Toro is a novelist. He lives here in Los Angeles. His latest book is Minos, a Romilia Chacon mystery.